This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you want to re-listen to this program, you can go to my website. If you want to contact me, you can do that either through the website or through regular mail, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now, today we want to continue our journey through Luke chapter 13. Last time we were looking at the fig tree that had withered up and how that we were making application to the children of Israel and saying that they had had 3 years to produce fruit. And at the end of that 3 years, instead of producing fruit, they had actually crucified the Lord. And so the Lord says, cut it down. Why does it cumber the ground? And the nation of Israel has been dispersed into the Gentile lands because they have turned away from the God of Israel. And it makes us think about our responsibilities to God as individuals. I asked the question last time, what would our feelings, our response be if we thought that we were going to have just 3 years left to serve the Lord and to be right with Him when we die? Would we be comfortable with that? And if in fact we come to the end of those 3 years, and if that represents our life and we've not had anything that produces fruit from the faith that we have in Christ, and the Lord says, cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? Where is that going to leave us? And so this is sort of a warning passage that we've looked at in Luke chapter 13 when the Lord was seeking fruit on that fig tree and didn't find any. But now we've come to verse 10, and it says, now he was teaching, Luke 13 and verse 10, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Very sick woman, been bound with this problem for 18 years. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, that is a Jew, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. It's interesting that I have often said on this program that we are not preaching religion. We are preaching a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And when I say a relationship with the Lord Jesus, that's kind of a popular way of talking about what the Bible calls faith in the Lord Jesus. When we have faith in the Lord Jesus, we have believed him, not believed about him, but we have believed him, we have received him, and we have become children of God. We often emphasize John chapter 1, verse 12 on this point. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. And there certainly is a difference between believing that there is truth in the Bible and putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and after trusting him, having a personal relationship with him. I've often said on this program that I believe strongly in a time, not necessarily a date, but a time when people have come to faith in the Lord Jesus. And I have a number of people who I actually believe are saved, who tell me they don't have a time. And it was interesting that just this last weekend, I was at a conference where I preached this, and I emphasized the difference between believing the truth about the Lord Jesus and actually trusting in the Lord Jesus. And I had a woman come to me who said, I have struggled with the idea that I need to have a time that I can remember where I passed from death unto life for years. And she says, I never could put my finger on when that was. But when you emphasize the difference between believing about him, which I was raised believing about him, versus trusting in him, I can go right back to when I really did trust in the Lord Jesus. And I can only say hallelujah, praise the Lord. I remember having a gal once that I was working with years ago come to me and say she wanted to talk to me before a meeting, and it was a gospel meeting. I couldn't do it because we were about to have a prayer meeting. So rather than take my responsibilities away from the prayer meeting, I told her I'd talk to her after the meeting. She said that was fine. So we had our prayer meeting, we had the gospel meeting, and afterwards I went up to this gal who was a PhD student, actually, and I asked her what her question was, and she says, I don't need to talk to you. My question's been answered. Now, you don't do that to a preacher because, of course, we're curious people. So I said to her, well, couldn't you tell me what your question was? And she says, well, I was not sure about what it meant really to believe and be saved, but I'm sure now you have shown me your two roads and two destinies chart, where there's a narrow road that leads to life and a broad road that leads down to eternal conscious punishment, and you've shown on that chart how you need to enter through that door. And she says, I never was sure I had entered through that door, but I know now that I have. I know I have believed on the Lord Jesus and I'm saved. And I said, well, can you tell me when that happened? And she says, no, I cannot. Well, the girl had come from Korea to the United States, and she had heard the gospel first in the United States, actually at Ames. I wasn't at Ames at the time when I was talking to her. But anyway, I said to her, well, let's just stop and think about this for a minute. Were you saved when you were in Korea? She says, oh, no, I wasn't saved when I was in Korea. And I said, well, but you are now. And she says, oh, yes, I know I'm a believer now. And I said, well, you came to Ames and you heard the gospel there. Were you saved in Ames? She said, oh, no, I wasn't saved in Ames. And I said, but you are now. She says, yes, I know I'm saved now. I said, well, we started these meetings several weeks ago. Were you saved when you came to these meetings? She said, no, I wasn't saved when I started coming to these meetings. And then she looked at me with kind of a bright light flashing, and she says, you know, I got saved tonight. Now, if we hadn't had that discussion, she might never have been clear about when she fully understood the truth so she could trust it. But even though the issue of when she believed was not the first thing in her mind, the fact that she had believed was first in her mind, which was great, yet by having that discussion, she was able to realize that that night when she heard the gospel, she had passed from one who believed about it to one who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and who really did, had become his child. And so it's in that sense that I say that we who are lost need to be saved. And just as this woman in this synagogue had an infirmity, and she knew she had an infirmity, and she knew when she was released from it, she may not have gone to the calendar and marked a calendar or anything like that, but she surely would have remembered what it was like to be released from that bondage. And I can tell you when I was released from the bondage of sin, I can tell you, and I probably wouldn't remember the date, except it was 2 days after President Kennedy was assassinated. So I do, in fact, know the date. But this woman was bound by Satan. And it's interesting that she developed, I believe, not only was she cured of whatever her infirmity was and was loosed from that, but I believe she had trusted in the Lord through the releasing of that infirmity, because she glorified God for what he had done. And it's interesting that God is a burden bearer. Having a relationship with the Lord it takes the burden away, the burden of sin, the burden of our bad consciences. He takes that away. He gives us peace. But religion always places a burden on us. And you'll notice the difference between what the Lord did as a burden bearer and what the ruler of the synagogue did as a religious person who was adding to the burdens of the woman. He was saying, look, okay, it's fine you got saved, but and it's fine that you were delivered, but that shouldn't have been done today. That should have been done some other day. You did it all wrong. Now, how can you heal a person and do it all wrong? How can a person be healed and you not rejoice in it? Obviously, the man's heart was wrong. He was one of those that the Lord was trying to obtain fruit from that had been helped in every way the Lord could help him, the Lord had shown him everything he could show him, and yet that man was more concerned about the religious rules than he was concerned about this woman and the blessing she had received. Now, I'm not much of a believer in healing miracles taking place today. I've seen a lot of people who are using healing miracles to attract people to their ministries, and in some cases, I think that those people are perhaps using it to make money and not even glorifying God in it. But I leave that with them. If I actually saw a person through one that I considered to be misleading the people, if I saw that man actually heal a person, I would rejoice. Think of it. A person who had an infirmity was released from it. And when I hear of people being reached and saved, even though it's through people who don't preach the gospel just like I would, if people actually come to faith in Christ, I rejoice in it because they have passed from death unto life. And if we have a relationship with the Lord and we love him and we love the people that he has come to save, shouldn't we be more concerned with the blessings of the gospel than we are concerned with just who's doing the preaching and who is in fact holding meetings in just the way and at just the times we want them to hold them? We're just glad when the Holy Spirit moves and when he reaches people and blesses them. This woman was blessed. And those who hear the gospel and who turn to the Lord, realizing that they're lost, guilty sinners, they're blessed. And a person like that is going to glorify God. And that's exactly what happened here. The woman glorified God. And then when the multitude compared the ruler of the synagogue to the blessing that this woman had received, we see at the end that when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. They glorified God. When God is working, we should not be complaining. We should be rejoicing. Oh, sometimes we sing that song when people are saved, happy day, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away, he taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who've listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We just pray that thou bless all that has been of thyself as we ask these mercies in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.